Christmas is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, folks, I'm in the Hamilton Corner. You remember how I used to open my program? I would say, I am he. I am not he. I am not Abraham Hamilton III, but I'm certainly honored to be sitting in for him. Brilliant young man who's got so much to say. Enjoy every moment listening to him. Happy to have an opportunity to sit in and talk to you today in his behalf. Thank you all, as always, for your support for American Family Radio, for your support for American Family Association, and all of the various ministries that are blessed and benefited by the relationship that they have with American Family Association. Brother Don Wildman really unleashed a tremendous amount of spiritual energy and productivity when he began this ministry, and really millions of people are benefiting from it, either listening to the radio, in some way benefiting from all the ministries that grow out of it. In fact, my organization, STAND, as I've mentioned before, before I even knew Brother Don Wildman or knew of him, I was being influenced by his work because he was one of the people who stepped out and said, let's do something about this wickedness. Let's do something about this in-your-face attitude that people seem to have against God. And let's, as Christians, stand up with love but boldness and courage against it. And it really inspired me. I remember being at the last temptation of Christ, where there was a showing. I didn't see that garbage, but I knew enough about it that I didn't really want. I didn't want to see it. It was blasphemous. It was disgusting. But I was one of those Christians outside the theater protesting it and saying basically, well, yeah, they may have a right to show it, but we've got a right to show we don't like it too. And across the street were a bunch of homosexual activists who were saying some of the vilest. I will never forget that, folks. That was really an eye-opener for me because I simply didn't understand the level of hatred that people had, particularly the homosexual activists that they had for God, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for Christians, for the Bible. I mean, the stuff that they put on signs and plaques, it made me shudder to read it because I thought to myself, these people have no fear of God, and they have no idea that unless they repent and turn around, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and that's exactly what's going to happen to them, and there's not going to be any way out for them because they were arrogantly and boldly and unapologetically and unrepenting in their nastiness. And the horrible things that they said about Jesus Christ himself, which, of course, the movie depicted as well. But look, I was out there in part because of the inspiration of Brother Don. And so we are all still benefiting from the tremendous ministry that God inspired in him and released through him and has really impacted many, many people, some of whom, probably many of whom, don't even know that they've been impacted by Brother Don. But if they really traced it back, they'd find out he was the person who kind of inspired action in behalf of our faith and in behalf of the values that we hold dear. Well, look, one of the things that I often talk to you about, first of all, I talk to you about America because I don't believe that America's future is a fait accompli. I really believe that America's future is in our hands. Now, not without God's grace and not without God's leadership and God's wisdom, but God expects us to be stewards of what he's given us. And the fact of the matter is, if we allow these godless, secularist leftists to have their way, they will destroy this wonderful country. They really will. I quoted for you the last time I was on, I quoted for you Matthew 12:25, which says a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. I said, Jesus never lied. he knows exactly what he's talking about. And when he says that, you could take that to the bank. That means that we've got to do something about the division that the left and the Democrat, which I affectionately refer to as the Demoncrat Party, because they have become a demonic cult, that they are pushing on the country, that we've got to address that. Now, we can't unite with them, mind you. We've got to persuade enough Americans to completely reject their wicked ideas and cast those ideas on the dung heap of American history, never to rise and trouble us again, so that the overwhelming majority of Americans can go forward in the pursuit of and the defense of and the preservation of our Judeo-Christian heritage and values. And that, of course, as you all know, is what my organization is committed to, the bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian values and heritage. And this comes to mind. Look, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And one of his primary tools for doing that is setting people against each other. I mean, that's really what he does. In fact, he sets people against themselves. They just don't know it. They don't have the spiritual insight to know it. But you know, the Bible refers to the people who oppose themselves. They don't know that they're opposing themselves. They don't know that they're really committing suicide. You know, they think they're doing something great, something grand. And they don't know that what they're doing is self-destructive. But that's his agenda. Look, folks, if the devil picks somebody and builds something for them like he's going to do with the Antichrist, if he builds a skyscraper for him, he builds it to bring it crashing down on his head. He is destruction. He is the lie. He is the destroyer. That's what he does. And sadly, we've got people in our country who are imbued with his spirit, and that is exactly what they're trying to do. Slice us, dice us, divide us, tribalize us. Look, I pointed out, you know, one of the great failures of human history is tribalism. And by tribalism, I mean, and by the way, I'm making an exception with Israel, because God gave Israel 12 tribes, but they were 12 tribes as part of one people under God. But for most of the world, tribes didn't consider themselves part of one people. They considered themselves a separate and distinct group, and that their whole existence was defined by their hostility to an attempt to conquest, or to conquer, I should say, or subjugate or enslave rival tribes. That's the way the whole world worked. And their leaders were essentially warlords who led their tribes in battle. And in doing so, they conquered the lands of others. They took the women of others. They took the children of others. They killed their men. They basically subjugated them. That happened in Europe. That happened in Asia. That happened in Africa. That happened all over. It happened in South America, North America, all over the world. That's the way it worked. And the nation state was really a gigantic leap away from that to try to bring these disparate groups of people together so that they could begin to cooperate with one another instead of killing and conquering one another. But the left is trying to take us back to that, folks. They're trying to take us back to tribalism by constantly beating the drumbeat of division, the rhythm of division. And race, of course, is their ultimate tool. Everything is racial. And so we've got mentioned during our top of the new top of the break news that we've got this big Texas fight going on because the Republicans, the Texas legislature, want to redistrict and add some additional seats in Texas. And the Democrats are squalling like, it is an ugly thing to watch. They've left Texas. They ran to Illinois. to the Illinois governor, who is really, I don't understand it. He's very wealthy. I don't know his background, but I mean, the man's a communist. And he's just bad news. And so they're running to him. They say he may want to run for president. Lord, deliver us him. I can't imagine. This guy, what's his name, Prisker? I can't imagine. Oh, my goodness. And the California governor would be just as bad. I mean, all of them. They basically, well, I get to put a word on it. They're just godless. They're just godless. And look, folks, if you have an opportunity to listen to my podcast, some of this, forgive me, will be repetitious, but some of it is a little bit different. But I mentioned in my podcast this morning, which is posted on AFR.net, when you disconnect from God, you disconnect from reality. Because God is ultimate reality. And God is the foundation upon which all of reality rests. And when you disconnect from him, you disconnect from reality, which is why people can believe things that are just so utterly ridiculous that you and I look at it and we say, wait, what? And so, for example, believe it or not, some of these legislators in Texas, well, they've left. Of course, they've absconded because they're trying to keep Texas from having a quorum by which they can move forward with redistricting. And so they fled, but they actually likened the Texas redistricting conflict to the Holocaust. Folks, I kid you not. One of their legislators said that's what this is the equivalent of. Now, I know when I say that, all of you think nobody could be that stupid. I mean, nobody could be that stupid. But again, when you disconnect from God, you really do disconnect from reality. And I will quote her. This is Texas State Representative Yolanda Jones. And here's, of course, I could go into the racial stuff too, which I will, but let me finish this Holocaust accusation first. She says, quote, "I will liken this to the Holocaust. People are like, well, how did the Holocaust happen? How was somebody in the position to kill all them people?" Her language, not mine. "Well, good people remained silent, or good people didn't realize that what happens to them can very soon happen to me or somebody I love. So even if you made it, you have an obligation to help people who can't, because God forbid they end up targeting you and your family." Now, folks, I don't know what to say to that, except that is absurdity beyond the pale. It is a debate. You can go to the legislature, and while in session, you can make your case against redistricting. You can make your arguments to the people of Texas. But a Holocaust? The Holocaust? So, but again, when you disconnect from God, you disconnect from reality. So see, these people, they don't really have a handle on reality. And some people argue they don't really believe that stuff. Some of them actually do believe this stuff. Just like any cult member believes the absurd things the cult teaches them, no matter how much normal people say, "But that's crazy." This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. We will be back in just a moment.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
In the parable of the Good Samaritan, in Luke chapter 10, three people of quote-unquote faith found a man in great trouble and distress. Two of the three passed by on the other side of the road after seeing the injured man. Sadly, they did nothing to help. Yet when a Samaritan saw the man, he had compassion on him. The Samaritan went through great lengths to help the injured man. He used his time, energy, and money to assist the person in need. The Lord Jesus, after sharing the parable, gave a command, "Go and do likewise." Babies in the womb have too often been the man on the side of the road. The world has beaten them up, robbed them, and taken their lives too often. May the church, the body of Christ, may we not pass by on the other side anymore.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And I'm E.W. Jackson, in for Abraham Hamilton III today. I want to continue this discussion. In the next segment, I want to start taking your questions and comments and responses. You all know that my life is in part dedicated to the eradication of this whole issue of race. That we ought to look at each other as individuals, period, exclamation point. That's it. You all know that I never use the term African American. I refuse to use it because I just believe that we are never going to be the nation that God intended us to be until we get rid of things that divide us. Now look, and I realize our ancestors have come from different places around the globe, because as I've said before, this is the only country on earth in which there are no people living in this nation who are actually indigenous, and that includes the natives, because the natives' DNA shows that they came from Asia. Now, I know they were here first, and they can make that claim, and it's a valid claim, but they're still not indigenous. They migrated from somewhere else. And I really believe that that's what God intended for this continent, so it would be a place that would be united not on the basis of demography or even geography in terms of ancestry, but on the basis of principle, of ideals, that what unites us is not our skin color, it's not our ancestry. What unites us is what we believe in. That our founding fathers gave us a legacy of liberty, rooted and grounded in the truth, the reality that liberty and fundamental rights come from Almighty God. They are not the gift, the grant of any human hand. And even the Constitution does not purport to give you rights. It only purports to secure the rights that you were given by Almighty God. And the left cannot stand that. You know, they want us to be all caught up with collectivism. So rather than seeing ourselves as individuals, we see ourselves as representatives of a group. I want somebody who looks like me. Oh my goodness. Oh boy. Don't get me started on that one. Because that is about as superficial and as fleshly as it gets. How about relating to people on the basis of their values, their character, their integrity, their decency, their honor? How about that? Rather than their complexion. Well, this woman, and I believe she really represents the attitude that these Democrats have taken on this Texas controversy, also said the following, and I want to take a few moments to comment on this. She said, "In Texas, this is racist. They are targeting black people. They are targeting brown people. This is who they are targeting. We have got to say that people see it when it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck. It's a duck. People see it when you don't speak truth to power, when you don't talk about what's actually happening. again, completely disconnected from reality. This has nothing to do with race. This has to do with making sure that the Texas congressional delegation reflects the attitudes and ideals of the people of Texas. Then she goes on to say, I mean, we have the Voting Rights Act and we have the Civil Rights Act that we got passed, but they're trying to take us back. And people want to talk about the world as they want it to be or as it should be instead of talking about the world as it is. Now, don't ask me to explain that because, again, I think the woman's so dense that some of the stuff she says doesn't make sense. But let me say something about the Voting Rights Act, if I may. I think the Voting Rights Act is obsolete. I think it needs to be done away with. Because, look, this is the premise of the Voting Rights Act, folks. This is its premise. You can't, if you happen to be an American of African ancestry, you can only be represented by another American of African ancestry. And therefore, we're going to draw the district so that we make sure that that's what happens. But that's a lie. Right now, I've got a delegate in Virginia, in the district where I live. And I guess people would say, you should be glad you have a delegate who looks like you. Well, first of all, he doesn't believe me. He doesn't look like me. Because the last time I saw him, a picture of him, he was wearing dreadlocks all hanging down the front of his face. And I mean, believe me, I'm an old Marine. You'll never see me looking like that. But that's another matter. You know, so that's what this stuff is, looks like me. It's just ridiculous. But I tell you what, he is about as far as thinking like me as anybody you'd ever want to find. And he does not represent my values or my wife's or our ideals at all. Because he, you know, as far as he's concerned, killing unborn babies, great thing to do. Two men getting married, oh yeah, wonderful, wonderful thing. Operating on a child, giving them hormones to block their puberty, surgically mutilating them because they were born in the wrong body. Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful thing. In fact, he happens to have another politician in the state legislature, and that politician who has mentored him owns two marijuana stores. So, I mean, that tells you pretty much everything you need to know. So this superficial nonsense has got to end. And I always come back as a Christian to this point. When you stand before God, is that going to play any role at all in your judgment? And you know, the answer is a categorical no. Nobody's going to be able to stand before God and say, well, now, Lord, now you know the Irish. Now, yeah, you have to understand how we... Yeah, right. Don't even try it, okay? Don't even try it. But yet, sadly, we've got even some Christians who buy into this stuff, not realizing all of it's in the flesh. And Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. And he said, all the works of the flesh are wicked. We're supposed to be operating in the Spirit. According to 2 Corinthians 5:16, we're supposed to be regarding no one according to the flesh. That's again, that's why you'll never hear me use that term, because I believe that we're Americans first, and that's how we ought to relate to each other as fellow Americans. But of course, when we got people who call themselves Americans, which they really aren't, as far as I'm concerned, not in the heart at least, they might be legally Americans, like this representative who is, I guess she's born in America as an anchor baby because her parents were illegal immigrants, but she was born in America, so she was granted citizenship, which I think is another big mistake that we're making. And I've got a constitutional amendment that I propose to deal with that, because I just think that it's wrong. I believe that if you don't have one parent who is an American citizen, I don't care where you're born, you're not an American citizen. And because all that invites is people to come here and take advantage of that and use it as a way to insinuate themselves into our culture, often for the worst of reasons. Well, this woman is another example of that. This is Delia Ramirez from Illinois. Yeah, there's Illinois, where the Texas legislators absconded to. And she says, I'm a proud Guatemalan before I'm an American. Well, you know, I say, go back to Guatemala and go live there. See, she's a Guatemalan American. Yeah, well, then you need to be in Guatemala. Now, we're Americans, and we've got to come together. So you all know that we're doing Project 76 from July 4th to September 17th, July 4th, Independence Day, September 17th, Constitution Day, Project 76 Standathon. And we're focusing on these kinds of issues, praying for our country, for unity, for a restoration of Judeo-Christian values and ideals as the foundation of our culture, praying for our country. I'm asking you during this period to pray for our organization, Stand, that we can continue to do what we're doing, because, folks, this stuff has got to be responded to. We cannot allow this stuff to metastasize. We've got to speak up boldly and forthrightly, because they are lying about our country, and they're manipulating people by doing so, not for the purpose of trying to help people or help our country, but they're doing so for one reason and one reason only: power and their agenda. That's it. Power to implement their agenda. And what's their agenda? Socialism, secularism, sexual deviancy, division, basically illegal aliens invading the country, anything that helps them get and keep power. Because that's really all that matters. And it's interesting, everything is racial from their perspective. Everything. I don't watch the WNBA, but Caitlin Clark. You know, the only reason why she's getting attention, she's a white girl. I mean, from everything I've read, she is one of the greatest players to ever arrive at the WNBA. Who cares what the color of her skin is? Well, apparently, a lot of people on the left do. And apparently, this girl, Angel Reese, is sort of the poster girl for she's getting special treatment. But I read that Ice Cube, you all know who he is, the rapper, what is this? Boy, he's come a long way, hasn't he? But he said he would not do a deal with Angel Reese because Angel Reese does not bring the cachet and the eyeballs that a Caitlin Clark brings. Ice Cube, because he owns this, you know, this was this basketball league, you know, the 3-on-3 league that he's got. And they were talking about doing a deal with Caitlin Clark, but she was not interested. And they said, well, you can turn to Angel Reese. He said, Angel Reese is not worth the investment. Now, I don't know whether he's had a metamorphosis, but he's absolutely right. The point is, it doesn't matter what the color of the skin of Angel Reese is or the color of the skin of Caitlin Clark is. What matters is their performance. That's what we've got to come to. You know, we're better at that in sports, generally speaking, than at anything else. Because, you know, based upon the attitude of these leftists, you would think we'd be going into the NBA and the NFL saying, no, this will never do. You've got too many black players. We've got to reconstitute this. You need 7.8% Asian. You need 15.9% Hispanic. You need 12.7%. You need... Then we'll really have leagues that really reflect the American people. Yeah, and they would be as boring and some of the biggest flops you'd ever want to find. Because they're good because they've recruited the very best people with the very top talent who entertain us in what they do and are capable of doing it at the highest level. And nobody cares the color of their skin. That's the standard, and ought to be the standard everywhere for everything. And that's, folks, that's the standard that's going to catapult America past our 250th anniversary into a great future until Jesus comes or until the rapture. That's what's going to do it. That approach, that attitude. I mean, Dr. King's great principle, that the dictum in his I Have a Dream speech, that we not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character, has been completely discarded by the left these days. Well, my organization is dedicated to that, bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian values and principles as one nation under God. And I'm asking during this period for your help. You can go to standamerica.us, that's standamerica.us. And we're asking for three things, essentially. Pray for our country. Please pray for America. Folks, this battle is not nearly over just because President Trump is president. Oh, thank God that he is. We got a lot more work to do during his administration and beyond it. Pray for our organization to do the work that God has called us to do and for the resources to get it done. We're looking for volunteers. We're starting stand chapters all over the country. We've only got two that are fully operational. We have people all over the country who support us, but we only have two active chapters right now. Maybe you want to start a chapter. It's not really that hard to do. Just get in touch with us. Go to standamerica.us, sign up, let us know that's what you want to do. Or if you've done that already and you didn't get a response, because it's summertime, I've got staff on vacation, all that, feel free to call us, 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. And then last but certainly not least, contribute whatever you can. We'll be grateful for whatever you can give. I've said 76 days, if you gave $1 a day, that'd be $76. Believe me, that would be a blessing. That would be a big help. But anything you do, we would appreciate. I'm dreaming of the person who might have $100,000 a day to give. Well, come on, folks. That's only $7.6 million. Well, listen, where there is no vision, the people perish. So, but pray for us, because I'm very serious about serving our country and making sure that we hand off to our posterity a nation as great as the one we've inherited and greater. This is the Hamilton Corner. I'm sitting in for Abraham Hamilton III. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'll be taking your calls when we come back.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at afr.net.
Growing in your love of God. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Loving God means to think and do what pleases and glorifies Him. Jesus said that loving God is the great and foremost commandment. The problem is your unredeemed flesh is constantly telling you to love yourself, not God. The world wants you to love the things and pleasures of the world, not God. Love for God must be cultivated through drawing near to Him in His Word, in prayer, with other believers in the local church. For when the believer grows in love of God, he will enthusiastically want to worship and obey Him no matter what. Hear our most recent program on growing in your love of God at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to The Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And it is my pleasure to be in for Abraham Hamilton III. I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. Hey, listen, folks, feel free to give me a call. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've still got about 15 minutes in the program, and I want to take some calls from you and hear what you've got to say. By the way, not just on what I've raised, on any issue you want to bring up. You know, RFK has done away with this mRNA funding for these stupid so-called vaccines that they were forcing everybody to take. Thank God. Another tremendous victory for the people of the United States under this administration, because that whole thing was a fraud on the American people. Let me share this quote with you from Theodore Roosevelt to sort of put this whole issue of unity into perspective. Theodore Roosevelt said, "There is no room in this country for hyphenated Americanism. Americanism is a matter of the spirit and of the soul. Our allegiance must be purely to the United States. We must unsparingly condemn any man who holds any other allegiance or woman." You remember Ilhan Omar saying, you know, we're one of the worst countries. And you want to say, well, then go back to Somalia. I mean, really, why are you here? Well, we know why they're here. They're not here to serve our country. They're not here to uplift our country. They're here to fundamentally transform our country into what they want it to be. No, thank you. By the way, President Trump is experiencing tremendous victories. His whole, you know, I think about this, folks. We didn't even hear anything about trade until President Trump became president. Presidents didn't talk about that. And we were being taken to the cleaners. And President Trump is now saying, no more of that. America first. And once again, folks, they want to say, well, that's racist. That's xenophobic. No, it's common sense. It's good stewardship. And thank God a president has got the courage to say it. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. Of course, America first. Again, I mean, one of the dumbest things I've ever heard is, oh, that's racist. That's. But again, folks, when you reject God, you just go stupid, and you disconnect from reality. I mean, I've said many times, that's like somebody, if you say, you know, I've got some things I've got to get done at my house, and somebody were to say to you, well, that's not right. Wait a minute. What about your neighbor? What are you, a neighbor hater? You look at them like they had two heads and said, what are you talking about? You're focused on your house. You got to focus on your neighbor. And you, of course, to which you would say, well, you know what? If I can help my neighbor, I will. But my responsibility is to my own home first. And then if I can do anything for anybody else, I'll gladly do that. But this insanity that somehow protecting our borders, protecting our economy, protecting our trade, protecting our way of life is somehow a hateful thing to do, and it makes us Nazis, and we're a bunch of Christian nationalists. I mean, this stuff is just preposterous. And we know that what it's really all about. It's not about their concern for other people other than Americans. It's their concern for power and the fact that we might persuade Americans that that's the kind of leadership we need in our country, leadership that's going to put the American people and our country first. And they don't want that because they need all these foreigners to come in here and help them take over and keep power. These people complaining about this redistricting in Texas, I think California's got 40% Republicans. They've got only 17% of the seats. Massachusetts, I forget what the number is. I think it's about 30 Republicans. They've cleaned out a lot of them, but they have zero Republican congressional seats. I mean, these people, their hypocrisy knows no bounds. 888-589-8840. So plenty to talk about. Let's see what's on your mind today. Let's go to Jason in Texas. Jason, welcome.
Hey, Brother Bishop. I know you're blessed. I'm blessed as well. It's good hearing you on the radio again, brother.
Thank you, Jason. Good to hear you, too.
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I named my baby Rain Justice because we need justice, you know what I'm saying? But I want to make a comment on the whole Epstein thing that I ain't been hearing nobody talking about, because, I mean, I'm not going to ever believe he hung himself. I know he got killed. But, you know, when he got killed, they found out that they had a broken bone in his neck when they did the autopsy. And the coroner came back and said, that is not usual with somebody hanging themselves as suicide. They said, the coroner actually said, in order for that bone to have broken his neck by him, he would have had to get on the top bunk and put all his weight and fall on his neck. And the coroner said, nobody does that.
Got it, Jason.
Along with
Jason,
everything
got
else,
it. But got it. Thank you. Thank you for the call, Jason. I'll tell you what my attitude is about that. I'm not that interested. I'm more interested in if there is a cabal of people who are engaged in pedophilia and taking advantage of children. I certainly do want to know about that. Epstein has gotten his comeuppance, and unless there was a last-minute repentance there, he is in hell. And his Ghislaine is going to go to prison. Unless she repents, she's going to land in the same place. I don't think that. I think what the left is most interested in, frankly, is they think they've got something on President Trump. And I don't believe that there's anything there, just like everything else they've tried to bring against him. But look, for those of you who are interested, continue to try to figure it out. And I'm going to probably focus on other things that the Lord puts on my heart. But thanks for the call, Jason. Let's go to Peter in Tennessee. Peter, welcome. No, Texas. It's Texas, isn't it?
Yeah, Texas, yeah. Hey, Mr. Jackson, thank you for your commentary and all that you're involved in. Greatly appreciate it. Love listening
thank
to you.
You.
I wanted to ask you, and just your opinion on something. You mentioned something in the last segment that you're actually proposing a constitutional amendment to birthright citizenship and that issue. You also said that at least one of the parents has to be a U.S. citizen for the children to be, as a U.S. citizen born in here. What is your thought on it not just being just one parent, but the father having to be a U.S. citizen in order for the children to be documented as U.S. citizens? And this idea that I'm asking you about is because when a man and woman become married, the family name is usually carried on by the father's last name and adopted down to the children. So what would be your thought on the concept of not just restricting it to one of the parents has to be U.S. citizen, but the father having to be a U.S. citizen in order for anybody who comes into the country to be born in the country as a U.S. citizen based on that? And I'll listen to your thoughts offline.
Interesting, Peter. Thank you. Thank you for the call. That's a very thoughtful thing because, of course, we need to emphasize male leadership and fatherhood and all of that. I think that the main problem would be with that would be discrimination on the basis of sex. I think that to say if your father is an American citizen and you are born, then you are an American citizen. But if your mother is an American citizen, you are not. I think that would be deemed, I think almost any court would probably deem that unconstitutional as discriminatory. So I think that's the problem there. But thanks for, look, I appreciate where you're going with that because we really got to reclaim male leadership in our country. I just don't think that's the kind of thing that would fly constitutionally. But thank you for the call. Let's go to Haywood in Mississippi. Haywood in Mississippi. Haywood,
brother.
Welcome. Hey, brother.
Yeah, good to hear you back, brother.
Thank you.
Been missing you. Okay, two things. Your caller on Epstein, that goes so deep into the other topic. When you opened the show, you talked about it's hard to believe what violence is in the world now, not just in America, but it's happening all over the earth. And I've had a lot of experience with such things. And I've never seen so much violence on the earth. And children beating children. And I would like everybody to pray for this violence, especially with children, to end. And we know that's only going to happen when Jesus comes back.
But, Heywood, thank you for the call. We can do a lot better by civilizing children in two-parent monogamous households with a father and a mother who are married. That is still the best way to raise children. That's the way God designed it. And children are going to come out much better. Most of the people in our prisons, most of the people dying of drug overdoses, most of the people committing suicide, most of them are from single-parent, female-headed households. Most of them, overwhelmingly. That's what's producing the pathologies in our country. And so, look, the violence, I was shocked. This kid, I won't say his nickname because I don't feel comfortable doing that. But you all know who I'm talking about. His actual name is Edward Korestein, 19-year-old kid who was working for Doge. They came up with a rather vulgar nickname for him. But at any rate, he got beat up because he intervened when two guys were trying to carjack his girlfriend, as it turned out. Well, guess how old the guys were? 15. 15-year-olds out in the middle of the night in Washington, D.C., carjacking. Now, look, they need to be arrested, and I think they caught one of them, maybe both, but they need to be arrested and locked up for a long time. But we're producing these kids because who's raising them? Who's teaching them? Who's telling them? Who's giving them discipline? Who's giving them any sense of honor? Man, my daddy used to tell me, son, you don't ever take from another man or anybody what they have earned. You earn your own. That's part of what it means to be a man. But there's nobody to teach these kids what manhood is. In fact, one of them was a girl, too. One of them was a girl. So you are absolutely right. But the breakdown of the family, God said in Malachi chapter 4, I will send the hearts. He said, I will send Elijah. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Well, folks, it's smitten. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. Good to hear your voice. I was going to comment about the Democrats that left Texas. Well, you know, I called the Speaker of the House down in Texas, his office, and I said, who's got majority? And they said, well, the Republicans do, and the Democrats have less. I said, well, then just vote. You hear all yays, and you don't hear no nays, then you can say it's okay. You don't need to wait on them. But I said, there's a lot of people out there that have not found their loved ones from that flood. God has them, but they want a closure. And these Democrats... Even some of the Rhino Republicans have caused some problems. So I'm asking anybody in Texas or anybody, call them, Democrat or Republican, and tell them you want something done, because that is a very important issue to get that river straightened out so it doesn't happen again.
Mary, thank you for the call. I'm so glad you brought that up because it was on my mind to mention. I neglected to do so, but thank you for bringing it up. See, that's the other thing. There's important business to be conducted, but these bunch of communists running up to Illinois could care less. Again, this is the thing to always remember. These people always try to cloak themselves in compassion and caring for others, but they don't care. They don't give a whit about anybody else. The only thing they care about is power. That's it. And if you're in their way, they'll run over you like a Mack truck. But if you can help them with power, they're only too happy to try to deal with you and accommodate you. Let's see if we get one more call in here. Frank from Kentucky. Frank, welcome.
Yes, I was concerned about the executive orders that President Trump has given out, but I've been concerned about the someone to come in after President Trump is gone.
Yeah.
And turn the thing upside down. It's like go back where we were. And I
thank you, Frank. We're at the end of the program. I get your point. You look. I think all of us should be concerned about that. And let's hope that as much of his policy as possible is turned into legislation so that it becomes permanent and fixed rather than something that some president, some crazy president, could come in and overturn it all. Although I'm hoping that the next president will follow him. That's going to do it, folks. I've got to go. Been great to be with you. You all know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.